What are the top five Marvel movies of all time? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Only Stupid Answers. This is the show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, comic books, top fives. We're trying that out this week. I am your host, DJ Wooldridge. With me, as always, is Roxy Stryer. And today, we have a very special guest. Say hi to the kids at home.
Hi, kids at home. This is my first time being on your show, DJ. I'm very excited to be here.
You were on episode 300.
That's right.
Is your first official time guesting, which is insane. It's truly insane.
Yeah.
And a mistake on my part, let's be honest.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I totally get it.
So for those that this is impossible to conceive, but that may not be familiar, who are you? Where can they find you? What are you up to?
Oh, well, my name is Augustine Rios. I am one of the three from Heroes Reforged. Used to be Hyper Heroes, used to be Superhero News, used to be Film Pundits. We've been all over the place. Been in the comic book nerd circle for a while, and now we're here. And, you know, now the guys and I have, I feel like we've hit our stride and we're, you know, we're good to go at this point. But yeah, I'm excited to be here. Excited to be here with you guys, and looking forward to talking about this very important topic.
Yes, crucial in the world today. Nothing more important going on in the world.
It's absolutely essential.
Essential. Oh my goodness. Could you imagine if we lived in a world where this was the most important thing? What a dream.
Absolutely not controversial on our end either, because my stuff is completely biased. So.
Yeah. So I think where you and I first met was all the way back in the Hyper Heroes days.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what we talked about. I want to say it was like something like Doom Patrol, the show, had just been announced that it was going to be a thing or something like that.
I think you're right. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yes, lifetimes, one might say.
Yeah, that was a very long time ago.
Oh my goodness. Well, so glad to have you here today. Roxy,
thank you.
How are you doing? How are things on your end?
So swell. Have all my rights. Oh, wait. No. I'm doing great. And I love talking about this kind of thing because, like you guys alluded to, it doesn't matter. So we can duke it out and then go live our beautiful lives.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
So
ready to share.
Is this like a good like escapism thing? Is that what we're accomplishing today? Is that what this means?
I think so.
I think so. I think it's a topic that people can argue about and discuss to their little heart's ends and not be upset at the end of the day. You know, like, let's argue and have a good, lighthearted conversation.
I think you're underestimating the internet.
I know.
People get very upset about this kind of thing. But I will preface all of my stuff with saying that if the wind blew a little differently, on any given day, my list would look different. Mm-hmm. I'll elaborate momentarily.
So for those that don't know, to your point, Roxy, I always love when I'm listening to a podcast like, whoa, isn't it crazy that these people kill over stuff over like religion and stuff like that? It's like, well, have you heard people talk about Star Wars? It's just something about human. I don't know what it is in our thing, but like this minutia really bothers me. Anyway, absolutely. Whatever. But what we're talking about today, Roxy, you recommended this topic is top five MCU movies. So the rules that were laid out, and these were the only rules, is it had to be five. It had to be MCU movies. So no OG Spider-Man 2002, X-Men movies, Blade, any of that stuff. Sony's like Spider-Man Homecoming, No Way Home and Far From Home all count because they're part of the MCU, but like no Venom. And that was, no Disney Plus shows. Those were the rules. And so, and we each have our top five lists for those that we're going to go around in a circle for those that have followed me on other podcasts as I visited. Yes, I did steal the format from Geek History Lesson. Yes, I am trying something that they're doing and seeing if it works for us. But before we get into any of that, some business up top. I know you love it. Of course, you can give us a 5-star review over on iTunes, please and thank you. Also, if you want more of the show, you can go to patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. We have Patreon-exclusive shows like Spider-Versity. Sal and I are in the Spider-Man the Animated Series. We just recorded our episodes for the Black Costume Saga, which is very exciting. We finished out season one. Also, if you listen to this on Spotify, you can answer a question every week. Last week's question was, who is your favorite queer couple in comics? Stephanie Raposo said Harley and Ivy, solid choice. Elaine Baltazar said Superman, John Kent, and Jay Nakamura. Augustine, do you have a favorite off the top of your head? I'm putting you on the spot. Do you have a favorite queer couple in comics?
The Harley Quinn and Ivy is actually really good. Favorite queer couple in comics?
One of mine that we didn't mention in the episode is I'm actually kind of a big fan of the Apollo and Midnighter couple, because I like it when Superman and Batman are friends, and this just takes it to the next level where they're in a relationship. Yeah. And it's a weirdly, considering the time that Wildstorm, and I think they're from Stormwatch, like came out, like the edgy, like Edgelord Gen X type thing, they're actually surprisingly like a very stable couple. Like they communicate, they like they're on the same page.
I'm actually still going to go with Ivy and Harley, only because I feel like Harley is a character that has been so tortured in the past by that damn Joker that she deserves to be happy with somebody. And if it's Ivy, it's Ivy. And I love the way they're so playful with the couple, and like they always look like they're enjoying themselves no matter what shenanigans they're up to. I think it's great. I think it's lovely to see. So that's my choice.
I love it. I think it's a great choice. It's also a great example of how like something may have, because like if you watch the original Batman the Animated Series, they weren't trying to make a statement with Harley and Ivy. It's just they were horny cartoonists. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so this is an opportunity where like you, other creators can come in and take that and like make something out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like present it properly and in a healthy way. I get it.
And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that I have a Kickstarter going on over at hellbentcomicbook.com. Please get your ass over, if you haven't already, to hellbentcomicbook.com. Back this comic. As of this recording, we are just so close to our next stretch goal, and it's driving me nuts because we're so close, and I just want to get there. I just want that peace of mind that we've made it, and that we can fit in our third stretch goal before the end of the campaign. The response has been really great, and for those that have been in a cave this whole time, the comic is called Hellbent. It's a supernatural thriller in the vein of comics like Something Is Killing the Children or Sandman or Preacher. It's got kind of that irreverence, kind of that big, those big cosmic ideas. A lot of action, a lot of feels, a lot of cool character stuff. So if you're interested in any of that, please go to hellbentcomicbook.com. Also, right now, if you're watching live, which is something you can do on Patreon, if you're a patron, there are special patron-exclusive rewards. So if you're a Patreon on patreon.com/onlystupidanswers and you back the Kickstarter, you're going to get extra stuff that's exclusive to you. So please get on over there. And also, thank you for being a patron. So before we get into the top five lists, I wanted to go through, I asked the Discord some of their top five lists. Now, without revealing necessarily your all's top five lists, Roxy, we'll start with you. What are some, just off the top of your head, you think would end up on other people's top fives?
You know what's so interesting about you asking it that way, DJ, is I'm sitting here racking my brain right now to think, okay, Rox, you've been doing a show with DJ for 5 years now. What are DJ's top fives? I'm going through my head because I know a couple specific ones that are on other people's lists that certainly are not on your list, DJ.
What could those be?
You're very, very vocal, my friend.
I know. It was embarrassing as I sometimes try like, DJ, you got to rein it in, and I just can't keep it to myself.
But I do think in general on the majority of people's top five would be some of the big ones.
Yeah.
And by the big ones, of course, I mean Endgame and Infinity War.
Right off the top.
Yeah.
I got you. I mean, any kind of like bigger team up ones, anything that is not like phase one standalone. Although I think that usually on people's top five lists, they have one or two from the the good old days. Mm-hmm. And then also I would have to think that some of the more humorous ones would be up there for people, but what you call humorous is definitely up to you. So yes. I'll be interested to see what makes the top five, but that would be, mm-hmm. those would be some of my thoughts on like what the masses think.
So here we got, Roxy nailed it. We've got from Boiler Huff, we've got going from bottom to top. We got Ragnarok, Winter Soldier, Avengers 1, Infinity War, and Endgame. From Clementine, we've got Black Panther, Avengers 1, Spider-Man No Way Home, Civil War, Endgame. From Danny, Civil War, Infinity War, Iron Man, Endgame, Winter Soldier. Glenn Caesar switching up a little bit. Civil War, Black Panther, I guess just with the top. Civil War, Black Panther, No Way Home, Endgame, and Shang-Chi is number one. And then Leonard Kim, No Way Home, Shang-Chi, Eternals, Infinity War, Endgame, which I support, but I'm just surprised to see it. I support Eternals, but I'm surprised to see it on somebody's top five because of just general fan reaction to that film. So I felt the need. I want to go through all the movies we've got. These are the movies we're talking about. This is the mm-hmm. This is the list of movies we are choosing five of. Obviously, starting with Iron Man, we got Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, The First Avenger, The Avengers, Iron Man 3, Thor, The Dark World, The Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Age of Ultron, Ant-Man, Civil War, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Phase 3 is when things really heat up. Mm-hmm. Homecoming, Ragnarok, Black Panther, Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, Endgame, Far From Home. And just since then, Endgame to me feels like it came out a year ago.
yeah, you're right.
And since then, we've had 6 movies come out. We got Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals, No Way Home, Multiverse of Madness, and Love and Thunder, which we all have seen, but we will not talk about here because we're not allowed to. Mm-hmm. And so that is 29 movies. 29.
And we can only pick 5?
Years.
We can only pick 5?
We can only pick 5.
Man. Okay.
Now, at this point, normally we would jump to news, and shocker, we do have Ezra Miller news. And Roxy and I, again, we had a text exchange the day before, and I was like, no news yet. And literally, it's like the ether heard me. And it was like, mm-hmm. but what about this? But considering
it's so bad,
it's bad. It's really bad.
And I think the thing is, Ezra Miller news touches on so many different things that our conversations always balloon around it. And I'm not entirely sure we have the space for it. So if for some reason at the end of the episode we have some extra time, we'll dive into it. For people that watch the after show, listen to the after show, Roxy and I will definitely touch on it there because it's not necessarily new. It's new information on old news, but mm-hmm. it does. The one thing I really wanted to talk to Roxy I don't know what my brain is doing right now. The reason I wanted to talk about it with Roxy specifically is it answers some questions that have been lingering and Roxy has expressed set for years or a year, years. Whatever. But years. The choking incident, we finally get some clarity on.
2020, DJ. We are in 2022. That is years.
That is mm-hmm. years. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this has been a mystery Roxy has been poking at since then. And we finally
get. Everybody said to me, let it go. It doesn't mean anything. Why do you care about this? It's so weird that you're hung up on them choking a girl to the ground. Why would you care about that? For years,
yes.
The internet has said that to me. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, bros.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. And we are going to dive into it. But I don't know. I don't know how long. We've all got top five lists. So I don't know how long this is going to take. So we're going to go to an ad break. And when we come back, we're going to start with our top fives. Everybody, we're back. We've got a top five list. And Roxy, we're going to start with you. We're going to go from bottom to top. Okay. And we're going to go, I think the term is round robin, where we each do one and we're going to go to a circle. We'll start with Roxy, then we'll do Augustine, and then we'll do me.
Okay, so I can't preface this enough. In the 10 years longer than that I have been on air, and all of those I've talked about Marvel movies – my list has changed every single time I've gone live to do a show.
Yes.
So while I ranked my top five many times previously, when you rewatch films and as you grow up, you feel differently.
Yeah.
Something connects to you more. Mm-hmm. Or as you get more information about this beast that is Marvel, something makes more sense or less sense, or just doesn't hold up the same way, or for some reason holds up better. So I say that to say, if y'all are out there and feel like clipping me out saying that this is, but she liked this one better before, is she lying? No, certainly was not lying. Opinions change.
People change. To your point, Roxy, like I always liked Toy Story 4, but then during the pandemic, my best friend moved away. And so now Toy Story 4 levels me. Like Toy Story 4 like lays me out.
Yep.
It happens all the time. Or like I never liked Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. And then everybody convinced me that I needed to watch it multiple times in order to like it. And now I like it less.
Yeah, yep.
That's on you guys at home.
When a song that's fine gets stuck in your head. And then it's like, well, now I hate this. Now, before it was like completely innocuous, but now it's been in my head for a day and it's the worst song ever.
Yep.
I also need to preface this with the fact that DJ Buckle Up, you are going to absolutely despise my entire list.
Oh, cool.
That makes it fun. Why we are co-hosts. There's a couple on here that you like.
Okay.
Mostly not for you.
Okay.
At my number five spot, which used to be higher, is Captain America Civil War.
Right, I hate it. No, I'm kidding. That's great. That's a great one.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing okay so far. I really like Civil War. I think that while it's a Captain America movie, it's really not. Mm-hmm. And I think that for the entire debate of are you Team Iron Man or Team Captain America, this was such a necessary movie to do. I have always been Team Tony. Mm-hmm. So this was a really fun one for me. And I think you also are dealing with some very, as far as superhero movies go, real issues about how you would deal with something and what is the right way to and what is the maybe less right way to or possibly wrong way. So Civil War definitely takes my number five spot.
Also, our first introduction of Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther, Tom Holland as Spider-Man. It's interesting when I was looking at the list, the ones that stood out to me, and of course I had to parse it down to five, but there was like the ones that stood out to me are the ones that had a strong typically a strong directorial voice that somehow like got through the MCU noise. But on the other hand, the culmination movie, the ones that the things that I think the MCU does better than pretty much anybody else is the culmination of all these characters coming together. And Civil War, definitely, it's weird because technically it should be Age of Ultron of that phase, but it is Civil War. Like Civil War is the culmination of that phase.
Right, 1,000%. And also, nothing for nothing, I really like the Russo brothers. So
they're good. They're good boys. They're good. We'll see with the how the Gray Man is, because I know I saw that Extraction, which I don't know that was directed by one of the Russos, but it was written by one of them with Chris Hemsworth, and that was not good.
I didn't see it.
I haven't seen it either.
It's fine. Both of you are fine. You're fine. You're fine. Augustine, you're up.
Yeah.
What you got?
Okay, well,
number five.
Once again, my number five choice, I think, is going to be on nobody's list because this character, I feel like, has been done so dirty in the MCU. In the comics, he is amazing. He has his stories. And we need to bring that into the limelight. So my number one is The Incredible Hulk. My number five is The Incredible Hulk. And I love it because it brings in this character. It changes it from Ang Lee's Hulk, right? Ang Lee Hulk was a little confused, a little too green, like just a little bit too much of a departure from the Hulk that we know and love. But I like The Incredible Hulk here. First of all, the story is not as bad as people are saying. Like, if you rewatch that movie, it doesn't necessarily stand up over time. But at the same time, I love that it brings in this character and introduces him, even though it is somebody else. You know, these things happen. We've had a War Machine be recast. And so it's not a huge issue, right? But I think there is so much, and this is a word we say on our show, potentiality.
Yeah.
So much potentiality with the Hulk, and I like that they tried to bring him in at this point. Maybe it was too early. Maybe it was just a little bit preemptive. But I think the things that the Hulk can bring, I think he can be the big bad or a Thanos level threat in the MCU at any particular point if he just gets too much gamma radiation. So just to represent for my thick boys, the Incredible Hulk at number 5 is my list, and I don't think anybody would put this movie anywhere near their top 5.
Listen, I love it. I love it. I appreciate it. Is there any part of you that kind of wishes Ed Norton was able to stick it out and be our Hulk?
Yes, because my continuity brain would just like it to continue. But also having been, you know, like Hollywood Productions, they have these characters, and I'm not going to say the name, but you guys just talked about him before we started this. There are people who are problematic, and if they're problematic, I would rather, you know, have them gone. So I think about it both ways. My comic book nerdy brain would like to have that continuity, but the production won't allow that. So I'm cool. As long as we get more green guy beating people up, I think it's cool.
You're good. You're good.
Yeah, I'm good.
This is a great pick. I think that a lot more people would agree with you now than would have agreed with you 10 years ago.
Probably.
Well, although there was a lot less movies then.
Yes.
Yeah. But just in general, I think that this has aged better. And I don't understand why we don't see Liv Tyler in 5,000 things these days. Yeah. She is such a true star. And as a diehard Leftovers fan, which is a bizarre way to reference her, I think that she has incredible depth and range that we have not even scratched the surface with. And she elevates everything she's in. So this movie is super solid.
Yeah, I think it's a solid movie.
Where is she right now? Is she in anything?
Okay, let me see.
Okay,
she was in 10 episodes of 911 Lone Star.
Oh, okay, sure.
2020.
Cool. So she's getting that paycheck.
Okay.
And she was in Ad Astra.
Oh, yeah, that movie's fine.
In 2019.
That movie had moments.
She was on the show Harlots in 2017. Harlots.
All right. All right. I think that was a Hulu show.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Yes. So now that's all the stuff you can look up. Okay. So for me, number 5, and I kind of went, you know, obviously there's a lot of options to sort through. And a lot of stuff on my list was stuff that I could tell was going to be on other people's lists. So I kind of went with ones that I do think are some of the best Marvel movies, but I also thought that like aren't normally on stuff lists. So I say all that to say my number 5 is one of the few movies, like I was talking about before, where a true directorial voice kind of was, or perspective was kind of able to peek through the Marvel formula. And I think the first time we really got that was with Iron Man 3, which I think at the time I had very mixed feelings on, and there's still aspects of it that I don't know. Like on paper, I love the Mandarin reveal. The reveal itself is fun and funny and adds later in the movie. But the problem is that the villain he's replaced with is like 1,000% less interesting. It'd be like if in Dark Knight, it turned out Joker wasn't the bad guy and it was like it was like Maroney. And you're like, well, that's boring. I don't care about that. But Shane Black is kind of the person behind probably most of your favorite action movies. Anybody out there listening, Die Hard, Lethal Weapon. He wrote Last Action Hero, which I would argue is one of the best action films ever, put to celluloid. He did punch up stuff on a bunch of scripts like Predator. If I recall, that was the reason he was cast in that movie, so he could do rewrites on set without them having to so they can circumvent like WGA rules. Anyway, point is, he and Robert Downey Jr. Worked together in the past. They are gearing up to work together in the future on a movie called Parker, which I think Robert Downey Jr. is wrong for, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Iron Man 3, which is great. We get some of the best War Machine stuff in this movie with Tony and War Machine interacting, and we get some of the idea, especially with your third movie. It's like, okay, what can we do with Iron Man at this point? We're coming out of Avengers. We're still trying to figure out the best way to navigate that interconnectivity, and so he's dealing with PTSD from that. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. But also we pull him out of the armor and we show what makes Tony an appealing character outside of the armor. And I think give or take again, a lackluster final boss, and the Dayglo villains, I don't know quite if they quite work, but just the interactions between Tony and Riley? Is that the kid's name? I should have had this in front of me. Anyway.
The kid in the shed?
Yeah, the kid that shows up in Endgame that confused everybody. That kid. The interactions between them, between Tony and Rhodey, and really showing Tony's ingenuity outside of the suit. Like the sequence where he's tied up and he calls the suit to himself and he's like fighting his way out as the suit pieces its way onto him. Great stuff. Oh, and the airplane scene. I think the airplane sequence, the airplane save is one of the best action sequences in all of the MCU. So upon revisiting, Roxy, you talked about this, like may have hit you one way earlier. You go back and revisit, and you're like, oh, actually, especially with like the years later of stuff we've got, it's like, oh, this really stands out in a very positive way that it may not have post-Avengers.
Yeah.
And what I was looking for post-Avengers. So number five for me, Iron Man 3, Roxy. Number
four. Wait. I want to expand on your Iron Man 3 really quick.
Yes.
Iron Man 3 also gave us the Marvel one-shots. Do you guys know about the Marvel one-shots?
Yes.
All Which Hail the King?
Yep. All Hail the King. Roxy.
Best Marvel one-shot ever created.
What's the Marvel one-shots?
Oh, Marvel one-shots is a little short that came out. It's not even a post-credit scene.
Yeah.
It's its own thing. So
like 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, 10 to 15 minutes long. Very short film.
Released on YouTube afterwards?
I don't know. No,
I think they were released with like Blu-ray. I think they were like physical releases. So like the Blu-ray releases. They're on Disney Plus now, but at the time you had to buy the Blu-ray or whatever to get them.
Roxy, go on Disney Plus, check out the Marvel one-shots, but first check out All Hail the King. I think that's the best one they made so far.
Yeah.
What is that? I feel like I've seen that before.
So it tells the story of what happened to Trevor Slattery post Iron Man 3. He's in prison, and this was the first time we seeded the idea that there is a real Mandarin, which I was like, man, I hope they pay off. And I didn't think they would. And of course, it did finally with Shang-Chi.
Yeah, it's really great.
But it's just more of Ben Kingsley as Trevor Slattery. And we even get a cameo of, help me out, Augustine, why am I blanking?
Who are you trying to say?
The bad guy, Iron Man 2, played by the guy.
Whiplash?
Hammer. Justin Hammer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Justin Hammer. Mm-hmm.
Fine. Okay.
I forgot his name.
Sam Rockwell. Thank you, Roxy, coming in for the save. We get a cameo of Sam Rockwell.
I'm horrible with names.
They need to bring him back. That's another thing. But the one shots, that one was specifically to see the idea that there was a real Mandarin. But the other one shots were basically like, I think one of them kind of basically set up the Agent Carter show, and one of them basically was a pitch for what became the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Right.
So it was their idea of like kind of like the test the waters or seed stuff, and then I guess they realized they didn't need to do that or whatever because they stopped. I think they stopped after All Hail the King.
They just stopped. They just stopped after that, and which really sucks because those were really cool. But you know, either way, I'm happy that we got that one at least.
Yeah. So Roxy, number four. Yeah.
Sorry, DJ. My number four pick is Spider-Man No Way Home.
Why is that a sorry? You don't need to be sorry about that.
I'm sorry because I know that you don't love like any of the Spider-Man movies post certain Spider-Man movies as much as pre certain Spider-Man movies.
But can I tell you,
Tom Holland Spider-Man doesn't work for you the way that does for other people.
Can I tell you before you continue, that is very true of Homecoming and Far From Home. On my short list, No Way Home is up there because it's not in my top five, but
on your short list.
But it's on the it's in the top 10. It was like could it be in there?
Medium list.
It's on my medium list, but like it was something I considered, especially upon revisiting. The reason it didn't get up there is because there are elements specifically in the first half hour or so that I don't think entirely work for me. But once the other spider people show up, it's like, well, I can't not love that. I can't not. Mm-hmm. I can't not. But anyway, you expound on why it's your number four.
Yeah, I really just love this movie. And I actually, as I was thinking about, wow, has this cracked my top five? Because, of course, recency bias, you have to question yourself, how am I going to feel about this in a few years? I just, the way that being in this movie theater made me feel is pretty rare. So I know that it's up there for me because just the way that I felt watching this, and I've been on record many times saying I've never disliked a Spider-Man movie ever.
Yeah.
As you guys know, I love Amazing Spider-Man 2. So that means I love all the Spider-Man movies. Mm-hmm. I just love the character of Spidey. And so to see this movie and have as many fist pump moments as I did, as many like, I can't believe they're doing this for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it just feels like they handpicked everything for you.
Yeah.
I don't foresee a world in which in 5 years I'm like, that movie was not great. I just think this is always going to have a special place in my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. And especially on revisiting it for Spider-Versity, this is one of the few MCU movies I own, which was also a good sign. Like, what are my top five? Well, did I bother to buy them? Then they I probably like them a lot. The fact it could have entirely coasted on nostalgia, and the fact that it actually took the time to tell an emotional story about Tom Holland Spider-Man that felt very true to the character, that was part of it. Obviously the fan service stuff, but like you said, like even the fan service stuff felt so specific to like it felt like it was for you. Like you were saying, like you felt like it was for you. I felt like it was for me. I imagine that was true for a lot of people. So a very, very solid choice.
I was concerned that the fan service was going to make this movie bad only because the nostalgia kick in movies recently has brought us some films that we probably don't need.
What?
I.e. G.I. Joe, like all this other stuff, right? Like we didn't need any of these movies. So when I saw the people being brought in and the rumors coming out, and I was like, is this movie going to be 1,000% nostalgia and not about Spider-Man? Mm-hmm. And, you know, not about Tom Holland's journey as, you know, as being Spider-Man. And so the way that they treated everything, I think, was masterfully done.
Yeah.
And us not knowing that it was a Spider-Man origin movie. Like Peter Parker, Tom Holland, Spider-Man, it's his origin movie. It took three movies to get there, but is this origin movie? I think was brilliantly done. I cried. I laughed. I agree with you, Roxy.
So what is your number four?
My number four is a more recent entry into the franchise. My number four is Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
That's my number four too.
Yeah.
That's my number four too.
Nice. Yep.
Roxy's not having it. We're getting a 2-for-1 special. Okay, 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 okay. So what are your reasons?
Doesn't deserve to be there.
Just watched it last night. Go for it.
This movie, let's just ignore any comments that we've seen on the internet, and let's kind of try to just focus on the movie itself and what it presented. So
those comments come from me. I am those comments.
So I believe that bringing in somebody like Raimi to a movie like this, first of all, presents a level of confidence in your franchise that you're just like, okay, cool. We have this character who... Doctor Strange 1, it was okay movie. It was okay movie.
Agreed.
Like it presented some cool things. Presented Stephen Strange, didn't make me fall in love with Stephen Strange.
Same.
But this movie, letting somebody like Sam Raimi kind of go at it and present the MCU and break the MCU visually. It's a visual language that's broken from like Civil War or Avengers 1, where everything looks kind of muted and all the VFX kind of look the same and the action beats are all kind of the same at that particular point. Not to say that no other movie did that in the past, but somebody as unique as Sam Raimi, who does those weird zoom-ins and like kind of shaky cam things, visually, I believe this movie presented a lot if you are a fan of that kind of stuff. But even if you're not, it's treated kind of like a monster movie, which I absolutely loved as well. Zombies.
It's like three different types of monsters. Like it uses different, like there's moments where it references, it quotes like J-horror. There's references where it's like a classic slasher. A lot of different stuff in there.
Right, right. And to me, what it signals more is that the MCU is moving into a direction in which... like, they got the superhero stuff. They got this. Let's hear individual voices and have people put their own style on projects moving forward, because I feel like that's the only way that the MCU is going to progress into the future.
Yeah.
We can't have the same phase one, phase two look and feel of everything, because that's just stale at this point. And as much as Kevin Feige, you know, made that, I like that he's willing to break away from that. So it's not necessarily that the movie was perfect or, you know, like everything that was presented was absolutely superb. There was still issues with it, obviously. But I like overall what it's trying to say in its place in the MCU as like, we're going to be different at this point. And it didn't work for everybody. Mm-hmm. Obviously didn't work for everybody, but it's there and it's presented. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. I think on a filmmaking level, the craft on display, and it felt, the fact that it felt like everybody on the team came to every sequence of like, we just saw a movie where it felt like, well, how did this happen? Well, it's here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the camera, everything's in focus. And you take a simple scene, like the stuff that stands out to me that I love, like the fact that two Doctor Strange fight each other with music, the fact that Doctor Strange possesses his own body and rides in to save the day on a cape of demons. That, yes please. Right. But the little thing that I think is that I could use as an example of the difference between this and other movies in the MCU is there's the sequence where Wanda dream walks into her other self. And I guarantee you in another Marvel movie, it would just be, she does it, the other Wanda opens up her eyes and she goes on away. The way this movie does it is it opens on the other Wanda's window. It pans down. Wind comes in. There's leaves from outside. There's already discord. Right. The leaves come in. The camera moves over to Wanda, pushes in. She's with her kids. Then she opens her eyes and it milks that sequence for the maximum amount of drama. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, this is all we want. Like, it's not the themes, I think, really work. Like the journey of exploring, like, are you happy? What would it take to make you happy? Mm-hmm. Very simple, not complex stuff, but that's the same thing. That's the same thing like the best Fast and Furious movies understand. Like this it's the same thing Jurassic Park understands. Malcolm doesn't want kid. Wait, that's not Malcolm. It's whatever. Sam Neill.
Jeffrey Goldblum.
Yeah, it's not Jeff Goldblum. It's Sam Neill. Sam Neill doesn't want kids. Uh-huh. He gets stuck with these kids. He learns that, hey, maybe I'm okay with kids. That's it. And it's just a vehicle to engage.
What is his name? Not Dr. Ian Malcolm. What is Sam Neill's name?
We're off the rails with the names on this episode. It's okay. At least we're all in the same boat, I guess. But and here's the only thing I will say to try maybe get you a little bit more on board, Roxy, but your opinion is completely valid.
Alan Grant,
thank you.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with me?
We just saw a movie with him in it.
It's okay. I had to Google it, so.
The emotional heavy lifting of Multiverse of Madness is entirely shouldered by Wanda. And she does such... Elizabeth Olsen does such incredible work. Watching it again, the first time I saw it, because it feels like she's playing a different Wanda like every time. But just within the context of this movie and what she's going through, the emotional heavy lifting she's able to do, because that's the other thing. This movie also gives us, I would argue, one of the best villains in the MCU, and it is Elizabeth Olsen as Wanda, and I do think there's room to bring back a Wanda that is not. Watching it again, I'm like, oh, this is so we get this Wanda off the table and we can introduce a Wanda that's more connected to Magneto. This is, you know what I mean? Like, that's what we're doing here.
Yeah.
So I know, Roxy, I know Wanda's your favorite and I know you might not like the direction they took her in, but Elizabeth Olsen does really, really good work in the movie. She does really, really good work.
She's great in everything she's in. Like, this is a bottom three movie for me of Marvel. I did like it better than I liked the first Doctor Strange, which is a bottom two movie for me of Marvel. And I think it. I will give it this. It looks cool. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I cannot stand it. Mm-hmm. I think they did with Wanda, I thought it was atrocious. I think that the story was so weak and lame. And I think that they put themselves in a place where it was completely unearned while also retreading exact what we had seen. So this one was brutal.
I know what you're saying, Roxy, and I have it on very good authority that the movie suffered a lot in the editing process. So mm-hmm. I I know that there was a lot of characters and a lot of character development that was chopped up, chopped to shreds, that a lot of people who worked on the movie were heartbroken about. Mm-hmm. There was stuff that was brought in that we never even saw. And so I think that's kind of what you're sensing a little bit, is that the movie was not presented in its original form. And yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of people talking behind the stage about it's not what they originally wanted Wanda or this movie to be. So it's
what also doesn't help this movie for me is that Doctor Strange is my least favorite character. Yeah. So I was screwed from the start.
And Wanda is your most favorite. But I will say, I think that it's less for me, it's less that this movie did Wanda dirty and more that WandaVision did Wanda dirty, because it's like this is kind of this is the only avenue out of WandaVision. Like you know what I mean? Like there's the anyway, Roxy, number three for you, right?
Yeah. I wonder how people feel about this. As we were getting prepared for this, I was looking at a bunch of big websites, top lists. Mm-hmm. And for some people, this movie is their number one. Ooh. And for a lot of people, this movie is their 12 or 13. So yeah. It seems to be, this one's based on taste.
Yeah.
For me, it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
I love Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't care that the world thinks that Chris Pratt is the worst Chris. I think that this movie slaps. And I also credit this movie for a big shift in superhero content.
Yeah.
I think that this is the reason why we got a lot of team-up goofiness. This is why we were able to go over to DC and see the Suicide Squad. I think that this movie really did an incredible job of being a still great story while also inserting a lot of humor, having a badass soundtrack, which matters a lot to me, and being a really fun ride. And at the end of the day, we had a lot of superhero movies leading up to this that pulled on my heartstrings, were so deep. But sometimes you want your superheroes in the form of this. Mm-hmm. We kick butt, we're weird, we got aliens and shit. Like, it just, this is what I was looking for, and it came at the perfect time, and to me completely holds up. I love Guardians.
I 100% agree with you, Roxy, and to touch on your heartfelt moments, I think James Gunn did a really good job of making us care specifically for Groot and Rocket. Mm-hmm. And the moments I'm talking about are when you see Rocket with his vest off and he's got the things on his back. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how he's been an experiment. So you get to see like the trauma, a little bit of the trauma that this character has been through to make him who he is and why he's such an asshole to everybody else, right? Because he's been through stuff that we will probably never see, but he still has scars left. And those little touching moments are I think what really makes the movie work. And then the I Am Groot moment at the end where Groot, you know, saves everybody with the ball. Like, it's glowing and magical, and it just works 1,000%.
Yep.
And yeah, I agree. This was a big shift because of the soundtrack. Normally we wouldn't have, you know, pop music and stuff like this, and the pop music 1,000% works.
Yeah.
And it makes the movie such an enjoyable ride. It lets you know that you can kind of put your guard down a little bit and just enjoy the goofiness because they're connecting with you on so many different levels. The movie was just visually, emotionally, everything. I think it's a good solid number three.
And the best part, or maybe one of my favorite parts, was because these characters were so much less known, the debates online afterwards were not so cruel. Mm-hmm. It wasn't things like, you destroyed my Star-Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was just nice to have people be introduced to characters, or people who knew these characters be like, "Gig, it's not like you were going to mess up my childhood if you had a little bit of a different spin on this." So it was a nice break from social media terror.
Augustine, number three?
Yeah, we're on number three.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, we're on number three. Number three is one we already talked about, Spider-Man No Way Home.
Hell
But is that yours too?
No, it is not on my top five. No, it's not on my top five.
It's another short list.
It's my short list. Whatever. Yes.
Just to expand on what Roxy said, this movie, I think, is a powerhouse of acting. I think Tom Holland brings so much heat. with his acting chops. And it actually, I don't like Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man. I never connected with him as a kid.
Get out of his house. No,
I know, right? Exactly. It's a controversial topic, yeah. Right? I don't like him. I was kind of wishy-washy on Andrew Garfield. But this movie made those movies better. This movie made me want to go back and watch those movies and appreciate them for, like, maybe, you know, they were in a different era in their life. And then they came to this point where I could actually appreciate them as Spider-Man. And they did a really good job of not making it a nostalgia fest. And making Aunt May his, you know, Uncle Ben. And I thought all that stuff, I didn't see it coming. And it hit just the right time. And I think the movie, I can constantly rewatch it and still get those same emotions of that I got the first time, because I think they were done so well.
Number three is one that I think will show up on a lot of people's lists, but I had to put it on mine, is Winter Soldier, of course, because this was I think this was the first, maybe not the first, because Avengers, I still really like of the first Avengers movie. I still think that really works. But this was like, I guess this is the first time where it felt like maybe a break from formula. I feel like this movie came out, did this movie come out the same year as Guardians? I feel like they were within spitting distance of each other. And it was the first time we really felt like they were experimenting with, like, okay, maybe we can bend the rules a little bit. But for all the reasons everybody else has already mentioned, people will call Winter Soldier a spy thriller. I think that's a bit generous. It's a superhero movie, but it uses the trappings of a spy thriller and the tone of a spy thriller to change up the formula. This was the first time.
They were both 2014.
Yeah, so this is the first time I really felt like, you know, Chris Evans is good in all the movies, but this was the first time of like, oh, he's Cap. Like he had the authority now to be like, oh, this is Captain America. I love the way Winter Soldier's utilized in this. For most of the movie, he's basically Terminator, and to the point where when he shows up, you know shit's gotten real. The second Winter Soldier shows up, you're like, oh shit.
He was scary, yes.
Yeah, he's scary. It's great. Yeah. It's really well-paced. I do think the third act is a little bloated, but that's just a problem with a lot of MCU. That's just the thing that they deal with. I think this might be the most effectively produced Marvel movie. It just really works, which is why a lot of people credit it as their favorite. So I'm not like reinventing the wheel here. Roxy.
This one was just tipped off of my list. I think it's at number
six. So it's on your mid list is what you're trying to say.
But I very specifically didn't call my short list.
The short list, that's what I feel like I use that term correctly. That's another debate for another day.
I don't even know how to use it. I just say it. So,
So Roxy, we're on your number two.
Cool.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks.
All right. My one and two is where I really start apologizing to DJ. My number two, as many people's number two, is Infinity War. The way that the theater left Infinity War in shambles, like the way that we left, like, what is going to happen here? I've never felt that in a movie ever in my entire life, before or since. And for a movie to make you feel something that you have never felt leaving a movie is such a huge accomplishment, even though I very well knew what was going to happen. In fact, exactly what was going to happen. There was something about the way that they did it that just shook the world. And I think that that is a massive accomplishment. I'm a big fan of tapping into all parts of my emotions and brain. And this did something new for me in a way that I won't forget anytime soon. I do think that, of course, its rewatchability is not as high as some other movies because of where it fits in everything now. But just for that first time viewing alone and that wow factor, it's my number two.
Infinity War, what Roxy's referencing is Infinity War didn't hit me the way it hit other people. I think I have an issue with, because I also didn't love Dune Part One, even though it's an incredibly well-made movie. I just like, well, just tell you, don't do this. Like, don't just tell your story. I guess maybe that's where my brain is. I don't know.
Right. Also, it didn't finish there. It wasn't the whole movie.
But also,
reminded me of a TV show finale, which I'm the TV girl.
And I also think I would argue Infinity War did a better. Infinity War is a more complete idea than Dune is. But I can also point to, well, Endgame did the things I wanted Infinity War to do. Endgame's the movie I wanted, and I just had to wait through Infinity War to get to Endgame.
I mean, it's all one big thing.
It's all one
really,
big thing.
It's one big movie. So
And you need the end. Truthfully, you do need the Infinity War to get to Endgame, like to make some of the cathartic moments in that work. Mm-hmm. But it's like I wanted, and Endgame was another movie that didn't quite make it onto my list, but I do think is a great example of things that the MCU does better than anybody else. Unless you have thoughts on Infinity War, and you're number two.
No, I think you guys said it correctly.
Yeah.
Another earth-shattering, a more gentle earth-shattering movie, I think, that people have not credited as much. But it, for me, my number two list is Iron Man 1. Because without Iron Man 1, we don't have Infinity War.
Yeah.
And we don't have Endgame. I think the courage to bring an actor like Robert Downey Jr. and bring a director like Jon Favreau, who had not, you know, proven himself as much as he has proven now, I think was a super duper bold move. And it hit at the perfect time. It hit, you know, just like it hit everything that it needed to hit. We got our first kind of post-credit with Nick Fury coming in and like suggesting there's going to be a team of superheroes. Just that, and also being younger too, like being a kid or not necessarily a kid, but like teenager kid growing into this kind of stuff, you saw once again the potentiality of what this universe could be. And it's the first time I was like, are my kid dreams going to come alive? Are all these things that I've been spending decades watching and learning and obsessing over, am I going to see them on the big screen? And I think Iron Man 1 promised things, and so far they've delivered mostly on everything they've done. So Iron Man 1 for me is my number two pick.
I'm so with you. This movie slaps.
Yeah, still good.
And when you go back and rewatch it, it like makes you warm and fuzzy, even not at the warm and fuzzy parts. Like, I can't believe what you did here, Iron Man.
Yeah, right. So exactly. Cool.
Yep. It is interesting that came out the same year as Dark Knight, and it is interesting about how
exactly
like, what one of the I would argue one is better than the other, but one of them you can build a universe off of, and the other one is very much like a is what it is.
It's siloed in its own thing,
And just different and just hitting different things. Yeah, it's in Iron Man 1 still holds up and still very impressive, especially just for what it was able to accomplish. So for me, we're on number two, right? For me, I think this is the probably the emotionally the strongest of the MCU movies. I do think there's elements of it that specifically maybe some of the CGI that could improve. But I think the story it's trying to tell, the way it is executed, I think it is the most emotionally cohesive Marvel movie. One of the most rewarding, and also, to my point earlier, one of the ones I own, and it's Black Panther. It's Black Panther.
I knew you were going to say that, DJ.
It's Black Panther. I love Black Panther. I cry every time I watch Black Panther.
Yeah.
And it's another example of, like, I think to make a truly excellent superhero movie, you need a good villain, and Killmonger is an all-timer. Like, Killmonger is such an incredible... It's kind of one of the reasons why I'm like, I think you can take a... if when you bring in the X-Men, you can, like, pause on Magneto, because Killmonger did it. He did it better than any of the other X-Men movies did. Like, he did it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But not just that. Obviously, it's easy to put the attention to that. Every element of the movie, I think, really works, and the arc that they put T'Challa through, and his growth as a character, and kind of dealing with the question of what responsibility an imaginary country like Wakanda has. I just think it works. It just works on pretty much every level. And it's obviously a tragedy what happened to Chadwick Boseman, and I'll be interested to see what they're able to accomplish with two. I would like to see T'Challa's story continue. I don't know. I don't know. But that's my number two.
I have 1,000% faith in Ryan Coogler.
Yes.
I think Ryan Coogler is an absolute genius filmmaker and storyteller, and I think he's going to do a good job because he was so close to Chadwick Boseman and everybody else who is part of that. So I'm hoping for the best for this next movie.
And Black Panther is like just so effing good. And I'm glad that you talked so much about Wakanda, because I think one of the strongest parts of the whole movie is bringing to the screen Wakanda, mm-hmm. one of like the most magical places that we've had in any mm-hmm. movie,
yes.
in Marvel or otherwise. So,
well, and right. you think about like we've had four Thor movies, and I still don't quite understand how Asgard
works. Yeah.
And yeah, like in yeah. one movie, it's like, oh, this is Wakanda. This is its culture. This is yes. its ecosystem. This okay, I get people, it. I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally. And certainly no spoilers on anything in 4, but I don't feel any more confident about how Asgard works.
Yes. And it's on Earth now. It's on Earth now.
Okay.
Roxy, number one, top of the top.
My entire life, my two favorite Olympic sports were figure skating and gymnastics, uh-huh. Because I am like truly obsessed with sticking the landing. Mm-hmm. I think there's nothing better than when you're hoping for something and then you can watch that accomplished. So my number one is, of course, Endgame. I can't believe that they stuck the landing on this.
Yeah.
The fact that they were like, come yeah. along with us for this over a decade long journey. But we promise you at the end of it, you won't feel like we really fucked you over. Mm-hmm. As a TV fan, I have been through a lot of decade-long journeys
yep.
that really bother me at the end. Some of even my favorite things end in a way that make me want to rip my hair out. I'm looking at you, Dexter. I'm looking at you, How I Met Your Mother. I'm looking at you, Lost. Mm-hmm. So the way that Marvel just cradled me and said, "Give yeah. with us." And then after Endgame, the fact that I didn't feel betrayed
yeah.
was just such an accomplishment in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Also, it's got all the dopest characters.
Yep.
It is such an incredible culmination. We've never seen that done before in movie history mm-hmm. ever. And I'm a huge Endgame supporter.
Yeah.
It's the only movie that literally made me scream out loud when Cap picked up the hammer. I have never screamed out loud. Mm-hmm. I'm generally quiet in movies, and I'll sit there and be like, okay, cool, I really like it. Even yeah. the super funny parts, I won't generally laugh. But when he picked up that damn hammer,
yeah.
I literally got up and screamed because it was such a good moment.
Yep.
It was such a good payoff.
100%.
You're right, Roxy. 10 years plus of payoff. 100% worked, and yeah, that's a very justified number one spot.
Yeah, and also, like, again, as all of us are part of the same ecosystem, people that grew up reading comics and everything, that seeing the idea of like the crossover splash page of literally everybody
mm-hmm.
in the quote unquote the same room, it's like I fucking can't believe we did. And that was,
and
I think that was part of like with Infinity War. It's like, well, we never got everybody together, and it's like, well, yeah, mm-hmm. Endgame. That's what I just wanted. Endgame is what I wanted.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have chills hearing you guys talk about Endgame.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. how I feel about Endgame. When people mention it, I'm like, I can't believe we did that.
Emotionally intelligent. I think it works on an entire, beyond the fan service stuff, it works on mm-hmm. an emotional level. It was smart that, like, of the people that got dusted, it wasn't the core original Avengers team. This right. is their swan song. I just think it just works.
Yep. 100%. All right, so my number one movie, and this is incredibly biased because I got to work on this movie. I'm a huge nerd. My name's in the credits, but it's Avengers 1. And when I realized that I was going to be working on this, my little kid self cried, first of all, because I didn't realize that, you know, I didn't realize that I would be at a point in my life where I could work on this one. This movie was the first time we saw this team up work. The first time we realized that a big superhero mashup like this could absolutely work.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate Cap's costume in this movie. Can't stand it. It looks like pajamas.
I think the helmet is the, if we gotten the helmet right, I think the rest of it would have been less egregious.
It still looks a little bit like pajamas, yeah. even with a different. Even
it like wasn't until like Civil War on. That we kind of ironed out, like, this is how Cap's costume works.
Right, right, exactly. And it does have issues, but at the same time, it brings a sense of, and at the time also, it brought a sense that this universe will work. Like, yeah. the team-ups will work. These characters are fleshed out enough to where we know where they are now, and we know what they're doing now, but we know where they will be in 5 years as well. Because in order to have a team-up like this, you kind of have to have that plan brought out. And I feel like this is the movie, even though Iron Man 1 kind of hinted towards the Avengers, this is where the Avengers came together.
Yeah.
But we realized that it was going to be more, and we realized that there was so much more to tell here, and that we got this, but this ride was gonna keep going. So Avengers 1 for me is my number one spot. And forever will be. I don't know if that one will ever change. My other four will probably change at one point mm-hmm. or another, but this one will probably stay there.
It's super fair. I think it's not as biased as you think it is. I think that it depends on how you look at things. And it does seem like a lot of it for some people, there is a nostalgia lens mm-hmm. and the yeah. nostalgia lens on Avengers is like on the first Avengers movie is like, oh my God, if you have been a comic book fan your whole life, if you've been like a nerdy nerd mm-hmm. to see that is like, look at the age of cinema we're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's an exciting time.
Well,
yeah.
And like you were saying, Roxy, about sticking the landing, that was the first time. That was the first time. Yeah. That, like, hey, yeah. because that before Endgame, that was the Endgame. Like, can they make Avengers work?
Right. Exactly.
And it worked. It worked. That was another one that was on my list. And also, I think my favorite, go on and circle
which
back.
Which list?
The mid list, whatever it is, the list,
the mid list,
make
or the
list.
Short list, the mid, the, or the top
in
the, five list.
Listen, it's in the top 10. All right, it didn't make the top five, but it's in the top 10. But that moment where Hulk punches the giant, the Leviathan, and he's like, "I'm always
it's
angry."
So good.
Best Hulk moment we've ever gotten in any of these movies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I haven't lived up to it since. Okay, for me, we're actually circling back to Roxy's number five. For me, this is actually, I think, as much as I love Endgame, as much as I love Avengers, this is the culmination of what I think the MCU does better than any other cinema brand, and that is Civil War, because I think mm-hmm. Civil War has the emotional stakes of seeing these people. It circumvents, although I do think Baron Zemo is a good villain, and I think he's effective in this movie, it does circumvent Marvel's villain problem by mm-hmm. just having the heroes fight. It just our heroes right. are our bread and butter. Let's just have them go toe-to-toe. It mm-hmm. is better than the comic it is based on. Mm-hmm. I think there's arguments to be... I think I am at the point now, Roxy, where I am with you that I think Tony is actually right because he's arguing for accountability, and I think we need more of that from mm-hmm. our leaders. But I do think you kind of understand where Cap's coming from. I'm not sure it's entirely airtight, but that doesn't matter. And also...
Totally.
And not only the fact that it organically introduced Black Panther and Spider-Man in ways that absolutely work, but also the fact that it understood. And I actually think, going back to Multiverse of Madness, I think Multiverse of Madness understood this too. The big battle mostly doesn't matter. We don't care. And I love the fact right. that it's set up like, uh-oh, these other super soldiers are going to get out and it'll be a world-ending crisis. And the fact that it understood like, no, that's not what this movie is.
Right.
It's going
right.
to come back down to Tony and Cap beating the mm-hmm. shit out of each other because that's where the emotional stakes are. Mm-hmm. And I think right. it did that really well. And then just tying in Winter Soldier is the one this is nitpicky nerdy shit, but tying in Winter Soldier is the one that killed Tony's parents. Super mm-hmm. smart and effective and a great mm-hmm. use of
so
continuity. I just think
so great.
Avengers, Endgame, Civil War, these are the culmination movies I'm talking about. And the fact that they nail these, mm-hmm. Give or take an Ultron, like on a pretty regular basis, is why we keep coming back. For all the little like, oh, maybe Ant-Man 2 didn't work or Thor 2 didn't work or whatever, when they come together, it's so cathartic. Mm-hmm. That you'll sit through maybe two or three Thor movies that you don't like because it'll pay off in a cool way.
Right.
So those are our top fives. I read some of your all's top fives. Let us know. Tweet us. Whatever. Speaking of which, Augustine, where can they find you?
Oh, my goodness. You can find me at YouTube, on YouTube, Heroes Reforged. We're reacting to everything from Ms. Marvel. We just finished up, what was the one before that?
Obi-Wan?
Yeah, we just finished up Obi-Wan.
I know you guys I was talking to Adam yesterday. Y'all are going back and doing The Boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so on Patreon, we got the Patreon exclusive The Boys happening there. We're also going to be doing a Patreon exclusive watch of RRR. We've been getting questions to
it's
watch
so
that.
It's so good. It is the best movie of the year. Go watch it.
So we got to go watch that one. We're going to do a lot of stuff there, given that there's going to be a little bit of a break, but... we're going to be doing She-Hulk. We're going to be doing all the crazy stuff coming up. So head on over there, subscribe. Thank you guys for having me. This was a blast, a blasty blast.
Thank you for being on. Roxy, what should the kids be checking out?
Just follow me at Roxy Stryer. I'll keep you posted on everything there.
Do it. You can follow me at DJ Talks Trash. You can find this show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers. But on Twitter,
Yank out the vowels from stupid.
And please, I cannot stress this enough. When this goes up, we'll have like a week left of the campaign. Do yourself a favor. Do me a favor. Go to hellbentcomicbook.com. Support indie comics. Support a diverse team of creators. And read a comic you're going to love. So check that out. And we will see you all next time.
Bye.